Welcome along to this latest Fraser of Allender podcast. My name's Graham Roy and I'm director of the Fraser of Allender. Usually we've been planning to talk about what the latest Scottish economic growth figures are telling us about the performance of the Scottish economy, but obviously that's been overtaken by events. So what our intention today is to just give a really brief overview about the latest economic data for Scotland, but then to talk a bit more about the where we are in the coronavirus and the economic impacts and the policy responses to that. So for that, I'm joined by Mary Spowage. And Mary, could you maybe just kick us off just by giving us a brief overview about what the latest GDP data for Scotland tells us today?
Sure, thanks Graham. Yeah, so this data is for quarter four 2019. So obviously we need to remember that that's before the main outbreak of coronavirus, so it's really before any of that sort of happened. But what it shows is that the Scottish economy grew by 0.2 in real terms during the final quarter of 2019. And over the same period in the UK, there was growth of 0.0%. So it is a better performance in the UK as a whole. Over the whole of the year, Scotland's GDP grew by 0.8% compared to the year before. And this is less than the UK as a whole, which grew by 1.4% over the year.
Okay, great. And I guess one of the things, obviously it seems odd talking about GDP figures back now, given that everything has changed. Mm. But I guess one of the things that we're going to have to watch over the next year, maybe even 2 years, is that the GDP numbers are not going to really tell us very much about the long-term performance of the economy, because they're going to be exceptionally volatile. We're likely to have, for the next quarter, maybe even a couple of quarters, really serious negative numbers across a wide variety of sectors. So we're really going to be after a couple of years before we really know how this is impacting our economy and how our economy is tracking.
Yes, I suppose the interesting thing and what it can tell us, the data about quarter four and for 2019 as a whole, is that overall, you know, average growth rates since the last financial crisis have been pretty poor, really, around 1%, compared to growth rates prior to the last financial crisis of about 2% to 2.5%. So what it does tell us is, coming into this difficult and volatile period, growth has been fairly sluggish before any of this started, which is a bit of a worry.
And yeah, and that's particularly a concern when you look at one of the big trends we've seen has been things like big squeeze on wages, etc. So
yeah,
for households and individuals who might be vulnerable to the impact of the coronavirus, then they may have had quite a difficult period in the last 10 years anyway. So the resilience there is going to be something that policymakers will be quite keen to try and focus on, and what we can do to combat that.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, I mean, just turning to the coronavirus and the impacts that we're having and that it's having on the economy, I mean, I guess what we're trying to understand now and work through is how big will be the shock that our economy is going through, which in part will be determined by the impact of the virus itself on individuals rippling through the wider economy, and also the scale of the public health response.
Yeah.
So the advice being seen to close down or at least advise against attending, you know, pubs and restaurants, etc. And then the policy response that's being used to try and help that, you know, bridging through. And there's a bit of debate about the type of response and how this differs, but it is quite different from a financial crisis or a structural break in our economy. This is very much like a bridge that policy is being asked to provide to help businesses through.
Absolutely, because the measures aren't really there to restore confidence and to get people spending money, because the advice is to not go out and spend money. So it follows that the response to this and on fiscal policy has to be quite different as well. And really it's about helping to ensure otherwise perfectly viable businesses don't go out of business during this period. And the individuals are able to, you know, still pay their bills and, you know, get through the other side of this.
And one of the things, I guess, where the discussion is, it's easy for us to talk at a macro level about, you know, a short-term hit and the economy will recover. People will still want to go out to restaurants and have holidays, etc. But the challenge will be is what's left of the businesses that through this short term period and what they return to. And I guess one of the things is that the impacts will vary quite significantly by sector and business.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the sectors obviously that will be most impacted straight away have been things like the transport sector, so airlines, for example, but also the hospitality industry. So pubs, restaurants, all of those places that people have been told not to go now, will see a significant impact. And that does mean that the policy responses to this to help them through might have to be quite targeted as well. And we have seen some of that from the Chancellor, for example.
And they're quite an important part, particularly in the Scottish economy, these sectors.
They absolutely are an important part. They employ hundreds of thousands of people. And for example, for every 100 people that are employed in the accommodation sector, in the supply chain, that employs another 30 people on top of that. So these sectors being in trouble won't just affect the sectors themselves, it'll ripple through the rest of the economy as well.
And we also know that many of these sectors that are potentially likely to be impacted have quite different dimensions or impacts at a rural perspective. So we know that things like tourism, accommodation and food services are disproportionate level of employment in remote rural parts, so the Highlands and the Islands of Scotland. So there's talk of substantial falls in bookings already.
Yep.
Not just what you'd normally see in a downturn of 10-15% fall, but literally going from occupancy rates of 80% to 10% overnight, and that will have a disproportionate impact on these communities.
Absolutely. So you might think that the hospitality sectors in the big cities, for example, may be more able to weather the storm of this, whereas more sort of precarious economies that rely so much more on this sort of business are much more likely to see a permanent structural change if they don't get significant help from the government.
And that's where, so there's been a bit of debate about support for small businesses and support for larger businesses in all of that, and I guess small businesses have been quite rightly the immediate focus of the response, given that they tend to have relatively little cash reserves and ability to respond to that. But I guess in all of this, we shouldn't forget that large businesses employ lots of people and they have a really significant footprint across our economy. So they'll be operating in tight margins as well, so the government will be quite anxious and aware of being provide support to them as well, because they create lots of opportunities.
Absolutely, because although they're such a small proportion of the numbers of businesses, they employ about half people in Scotland, so they're very important large businesses. And you saw that through some of the measures that the Chancellor announced yesterday, extending some of the business rates measures, for example, to all sizes of businesses in the hospitality sector, not just small ones. So those are the sorts of measures that are being taken, recognising that large businesses will also struggle through this if they're in particular sectors.
And we've spoken so far about businesses, but obviously individuals matter in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And we published some analysis yesterday showing just how precarious certain families are to not having income for a relatively short period of time. And I guess one of the concerns would be is that if businesses are struggling, then the wage bill is a major component of their business.
Yeah.
So one way they can respond is through levels of employment, and that then has a significant impact upon individuals who I guess are at the heart of all of this.
Absolutely, and we've already heard of businesses who are reducing hours or putting people on unpaid leave, trying to keep them employed but reducing the costs that are associated with that. But that's obviously going to have a big impact on the amount of money that individuals have coming in. And whilst the government have announced some measures already for individuals, things like potential mortgage holiday for a few months and that sort of thing, they don't cover all individuals who may be in trouble. And so the government does seem to be thinking that they're going to need to do more for individuals over the next few days to help them through this difficult period.
Yeah, and that gets into big questions around, what support provided business, A, to retain staff, but then also B, for people who may be self-employed or people who are cut down hours, etc., how can they access more general support within the benefit system whether they need to or not, but to provide that overall support in terms of well-being and uncertainty and stress, which will be building and quite significant for people at this point in time.
Absolutely, and this is where the practical measures are really important. So not just the announcement of what the government's going to do, but also how they're going to make sure it's implemented very quickly and in a simple way, perhaps to people who have never interacted with the benefit system before and don't know where to start. So it'll be really important that it's very easy to access this support, so that it can get in the pockets of people who need it.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Mary.
Thank you.